You are listening to the Gateway Church located in Ferriesburg, Michigan. You can learn more about us by visiting thegateway.church or like and follow us on Facebook, where you can watch full services, keep up with all that is going on, and get connected.
But you will receive the Holy Spirit power, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, and in Judea, and in Samaria, and till the very end of the earth. Acts 1:8.
Amen. Well, thank you guys so much. Good morning. Well, my name is Melinda. This is my husband, Billy Marsh, and we are so grateful. First, I want to thank Pastor Ben and his wife, Jessica, for just allowing us to come here and to share with you guys. I want to thank Jerry and Jerry Malone for kind of helping us plug in. And also, Bonnie, you have been, I don't know where you're at. I can't. Somewhere. Okay, so there you are. Thank you for all of the crazy emails and my chaos, and you know, I live in chaos, but it's great. And then the Tidswells. Are they? There they are. Thank you, guys. You guys are such a blessing. You have braved to allow us to come and stay with your house, and we just appreciate your love and your friendship, and then all of our friends from Central. So we have met all of them at a mission trip in Belize. And so that's how we got connected with you guys here in Michigan, and we're so excited. I want to go back to Belize after coming to Michigan, though, because it's a little cold here compared to what it is in Belize. But we are so very grateful to be here. As he said, we are from Arkansas, and we have two wonderful kids. Our daughter is 27 years old, and she is an athletic trainer at Southeastern University, which is an Assembly of God university in Lakeland, Florida. And our son is a next-gen youth pastor, kid pastor. You know, those pastors there, they just kind of have an all-around job to do. And but he's back in Arkansas, and we have one phenomenal, extremely brave daughter-in-law who chose to be in this chaotic family. So we love her, and we're very excited for her. But more than anything, just thank you. Thank you, guys, for your heart for missions. This has been an amazing Sunday already. And man, it's exciting to see God move all over, from Michigan all the way down to Belize, and we are just excited to see what God has got planned more for us.
Amen. Good morning, everyone. Thank you for allowing us to be here on your Missions Sunday. God's heartbeat is missions. Amen. I want to ask you a question. What does lukewarm commitment look like? Let me rephrase that question. What does total surrender to God's call look like, and what are the effects of that call? You see, we enter the story in Jonah chapter 1, verse 3, of a prophet who was tasked to go to a place and preach repentance to a nation. And Jonah had a better idea. In Jonah chapter 1, verse 3, it says, "But Jonah rose to flee to Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. He went down to Joppa and found a ship going to Tarshish. So he paid the fare and went down into it to go with them to Tarshish, away from the presence of the Lord." See, that's what lukewarm commitment looks like, when you purposely flee the presence of the Lord. I have wrestled with that before personally, when the Lord has asked me to do something and I have responded, "Lord, are you sure? In your all infinite wisdom, are you sure that you ask me to do this task? I think I know better than you, and I'm going to do it my way." That's lukewarm commitment. And Pastor Ben, if the story ended right there, every one of us would be in trouble, because all of us have wrestled with that situation of, "Lord, you've asked me to do something, and I'm going to try to run as far away from you as possible." But our God is faithful. And so we enter the story through the Bible of another individual named Philip. And we find him in Acts chapter 8 and verse number 30. It says, "So Philip ran to to him and heard him reading Isaiah the prophet and asked him, "Do you understand what you are reading?" And so a little bit of the backstory of this man, Philip, that we're introduced to is being guided by the Holy Spirit's direction. The Lord told Philip, "You are going to encounter a man on a chariot. And he's going to be coming away from Jerusalem. And he's going to be reading a scroll. And you are going to approach this man." And so the scripture says that Philip ran with that opportunity. A drastic difference from the prophet Jonah, who fled from the presence of the Lord. We see now that Philip runs to an opportunity to share the gospel message. So what happened between Jonah and Philip? You see, Pastor Ben, I read in the scripture that there was a man named Jesus Christ who left the splendors of heaven, that was born of a virgin and lived a sinless life for 33 and a half years. He died on the cross for the forgiveness of sins of all mankind. He was buried and rose on the third day. He presented himself to many after the resurrection. And he told his disciples, "Go and make disciples of all nations." And then he gave them another command: to wait until I send you the promise of the Holy Spirit. And then he ascended to the right hand of the Father, to his rightful place in heaven. You see, there was a process that took place from Jonah to Philip. And that process was Jesus Christ, who came to save mankind and gave us the command to not flee from the presence of the Lord, but to run and tell others about who Jesus is.
So he talks about how Jonah ran. And right now I want to talk about how we ran. So I want to just share a little bit about you guys and our Jonah story. And I'm going to make it as quick and short as possible because I want you to stay awake. So I grew up in church. I grew up as a preacher's daughter. So I was in church every Sunday, every Wednesday, every Sunday night, every activity I was in the church. But behind doors, I was being abused. And so with that abuse that was going on behind doors and me coming into the church every time and acting, you know, supposed to act a certain way, that put a guard up in front of my face. And in teenage years and growing up, it also caused me to have a hatred for God. Because in my mind, I'm thinking, why would God put a man behind the pulpit that would do something to his own daughter in behind closed doors, right? I mean, it just doesn't make sense to a young girl. And so, of course, I just hated the Lord, didn't want to have anything to do with church, and lived exactly that life. And so Satan got a hold of me pretty young. I was about 12 years old when I started adventuring in drugs and alcohol, and that was my life, my whole teenage life. From junior high and high school, that is exactly what I did. I refused to go to church. I would get in trouble in school, all the fights. I was the kid that you would tell your kids to stay away from. That was me. So, but it was just Satan constantly just using one thing to keep me away from my God. But my God is stronger. Because during that time, I didn't see it then, but during that time, I was also being protected by God. Because even though I was being abused, God didn't want that to happen to me. But now I'm able to use it with the things that I'm able to do in Belize. And so he's turned it completely around and said, not only am I going to save you and bring you out of this situation, I'm going to use it and allow you to help others that are going through the same exact situation, or maybe even just a confusion with religion and what that God really truly means and that personal relationship with him. I was able to find that within myself, and then God said, "Ha ha, I'm going to use my wonders and make it work for you in missions as well." Now, his story is a little different. He grew up in a very loving home, sometimes too loving because he's a very, very, very spoiled child, only child. But he was adopted. So he was adopted at 2 weeks by two parents. I mean, it's an amazing godly story how his parents even were able to. His dad was from Pontiac. His mom was from Rhode Island. They met in Little Rock, Arkansas at an AA meeting, which is amazing. Had a horrible life, past life, but worked for God and got together and was able to adopt this beautiful man behind me. And he lived a perfect, great, wonderful life. But inside, it wasn't so perfect and wonderful for him. Inside, he was confused. His parents loved him. There was no doubt of who loved him. But he also felt a little unwanted. See, where we were from, there wasn't many people or children that looked like him. He didn't look like the black kids growing up in school. He didn't look like the white kids growing up. We didn't have a lot of Hispanics or Latins in Arkansas at that time in the 70s. And so he just felt a little left out and a little pushed off to the side. And even when we started dating, he felt like I was going to leave him. And when we got married, he still had that struggle of acceptance that Satan has put in his heart. You know, if your own mother doesn't want you, why do you think anybody else is going to want you? So he struggled with that for the majority of his teenage life and most of his adult life until God. You know, God got a hold of him in a way that... It was kind of funny, but it was great because he was running from God, and God put him in a place to where he looks just like the people that we get to serve. We started serving, and now this took, I'm trying to shorten this story, over 20 years, we fought with the Lord about going into church. I don't think that, you know, hey, he saved me and I'm all good. No, it was a struggle. God had to work on us. God worked his magic. I don't want to say magic, but, you know, it's God magic, right? But he worked his love on us to allow us to be missionaries. We never thought in this world that that's exactly what we would be. We thought that we would be in the belly of that fish like Jonah, not coming out the right end. We probably would have came out the other end with the life that we were living. But we didn't think that that was going to be the case for our lives because of our past. And God not only saved us from our past, but he's able to let us use our past in our missions. So no matter what you've gone through, no matter what you've been through, God can use it and he can make you more powerful in sharing his gospel for that. And that's exactly what it is. But, you know, it doesn't just take God to do it. It takes something from you. And for us, we entered the story when we decided to just change and come to church and be saved. But then we had to change our own narrative of the story. And in Hebrews chapter 11, which is one of my favorite chapters in the Bible, but Hebrews chapter 11, 6, it says, "And without faith, it is impossible to please him. For whoever would draw near to God must believe that he exists and that he rewards those who seek him." You see, the sad truth is that most believers live a safe and quiet life. And they never want to, and they never get to see the full promise of what God has for them. But the thing is, sometimes God is going to ask you to do something a little bit crazy. I call that crazy faith. For us, it was crazy faith of leaving our kids in the States and leaving our jobs that we have been at for years and years. He was an electrician. He had been that for since 97, and we were set, and God told us to leave. Are you crazy? Like, we had the car. We had the four-wheeler. We had the house. We were perfect. We were set, and God tells us to leave. He's going to ask you to do something that's going to sound a little irrational. But it's up to you whether you decide, yes, Lord, I'm going to do it. I'm going to have that crazy faith like Jonah had, or that crazy faith that Philip had, that crazy faith that Abraham, Noah, everybody that made fun of Noah for making that boat, he had the crazy faith to continue on. And look how God used him. That's exactly what he's asking for us. It's just a little bit of that crazy faith, and then you can sit back and see the potential that God is going to have for you and in your life.
It takes crazy faith at 40 years old to leave everything that you've known.
He's 40. I'm just kidding.
40 plus. She says 40, none of your business years old. But it takes crazy faith to leave everything behind and say, I'm going to go serve and do what you've asked me to do. It takes crazy faith to feel inadequate to go to a place to present a gospel message when you lived a life of tragedy yourself. It takes crazy faith to step out of obedience in that life of comfort that we all have from time to time, and step through that door that the Holy Spirit opens, and do just like Philip did, and run through that door. You say, well, what is the significance of what you're trying to say today? I asked you the question at the beginning of what does total surrender look like and what effects can it have? You see, Philip was obedient to the power of the Holy Spirit that guided him to the chariot that day. And that's important because the scripture says that this Ethiopian eunuch that was traveling away from Jerusalem was the second in command of the treasury to Queen Candace in Ethiopia. This was an educated man. He had prominence. He had things that most other people around him did not have access to. And he is riding on a chariot reading, which is rare in that time to begin with. And he has access to the scrolls of Isaiah, which is even more rare. But he does not understand what he is reading. How many people do we know personally that will dive into that Bible and not have a clue of what it says? They don't understand the scriptures. And how will they know unless God sends someone to help them and direct them and guide them? And so that's why it's important in this story with Philip, because he does exactly what God asked him to do. He runs up to the chariot. He presents a clear gospel message of who Jesus was, because that's what the Ethiopian was reading about in Isaiah. And the scripture says he was able to baptize that Ethiopian, and that Ethiopian went away rejoicing. Well, why is that important? Because logic tells me, Pastor Ben, that the Ethiopian was going back to the place where he come from. He had already left Jerusalem and he was on his way back. The scripture makes that clear. So where was he going? He was going back to the castle in Ethiopia where his livelihood was. Well, why is that important? Because the last time I read scripture, Philip was a Jew. He was a good little Israelite boy. He would have never had access to the castle in Ethiopia. But yet God used his design plan to guide Philip to an Ethiopian who was lost. And after that encounter, that Ethiopian carried a gospel message to a place that it would have never been able to go. That's how God's heartbeat works, to carry his gospel message to places that it should not normally go under normal circumstances. Only the Ethiopian could have carried the gospel message back to Ethiopia. And he has a clear understanding now of what and who Jesus Christ is. And now the castle of Ethiopia has the gospel message right in the center of the castle. That's the power of God and his heartbeat for missions. Go and make disciples of all nations. And that's exactly what Philip did. We have all been Jonas, but Lord, help us. Please be more like Philip. And when those opportunities are presented, run, because someone's soul is determined upon you. God commissioned you. Jesus commissioned you and he equipped you to present the gospel message. You don't need missionary in front of your name. You don't need pastor in front of your name. You already have the name of Son of the Most High God by the blood of Jesus Christ. You are qualified. You are commissioned. You are sent. That word is past tense, meaning you've already been assigned to go. The word has already been spoken. You are qualified, you are equipped, and you are adequate because you are saved by the blood of Jesus Christ. And if you can tell someone else what he did for you, it may open the door of their salvation. Because God is willing that none should perish and all come to repentance in accordance with 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 9. We ran like Jonah most of our lives trying to find what God's will was for our life. And his will never changed. He is willing that none should perish and all come to repentance. That's his will for my life. That's his will for your life. That's his will for every individual that he's placed his air in their lungs. That none should perish and all come to repentance. I'm going to let her tell a little bit about what we do.
What missionary would we be if we didn't tell you guys a little bit about Belize? First, thank you. Thank you, church, for supporting us. Thank you for sending us. That is such a blessing. But I know you guys don't know much about us, so I'm going to kind of tell you a little bit, just a little bit of kind of the things that we do. So he teaches at the Bible school. One of the things that they want us as missionaries to do is plant churches, plant churches, plant churches. Well, you can't plant churches unless you have pastors that are equipped and ready to go. And so that is something that we are working on right now. We have 64 Assembly of God churches in Belize. And this is something, I'm going to give you guys some numbers, and I'm probably going to get them wrong. 66. See, I already got the first number wrong. But this is what's so awesome about Belize, is there's so many different cultures in Belize that we have 24. Nope, see, I told y'all.
We have 45 Spanish churches, 16 English churches, 2 Mayan churches, 2 Garifuna churches, which the Garifuna actually used to be on the UPG list. They're no longer there anymore.
Praise God.
And 1 Taiwanese church that make up the 66 in the Assembly of God Fellowship. So there's a diversity of culture in this small country.
And so it's also a great opportunity to reach so many others, because they're not going to stay in Belize. Some of them are going to go back to, you know, where to China. Are you kidding me? The Chinese church that we have has an amazing evangelism. I mean, they go out to these people that have never heard who Christ is, and then they go back to China. And so we get to teach at the Bible school. I get to counsel at one of the high schools, the Assembly of God high schools. We preach all over the country. And love the relationships that we get to make. And then we also get to bring in some teams. And that is what I'm interested with you guys for. So we have projects that are continuously going on. So we are a part of the campground committee. Everybody here probably knows how important camp is to our kids and to everything else. But this is not just for kids. This campground is used for, I mean, they're fixing to have their district council there in a few weeks. It's used for women's ministry, men's ministry, all kinds of ministries that's being done at that campground. If you did not know, Belize is very apt to have hurricanes. And so construction jobs, man, if you want a construction job, we've got you. We've got you covered for sure. But that is something that we need to focus on, because camp is important. Camp is special. Camp is just great for any kind of a relationship with God. And then, of course, there's churches, evangelism. You know, because of the Mayan, because of the Garifuna, there's a lot of spiritual confusion that is in Belize. And most people, when you talk to people and you ask them, do you know who Jesus is? They're going to say yes. But that's not the question that we want to ask them anymore. In Belize, we want to ask them, how is your relationship with Jesus? You may know who Jesus is, but do you have a relationship with him? And that is what's lacking, because they tend to put in their beliefs from their traditions in with their religion. And of course, that's going to cause a confusion. That's going to cause a confusion of spiritual, you know, a spiritual confusion is what I call it. And so that is something that we need you guys to come and help us with evangelism and discipleship and training of our pastors, of our leaders, of our Sunday school teachers, whatever we can do to help with that spiritual confusion. But if you can't go to Belize, if you can't go to, Estonia, thank you. If you can't go, your job's not over. You know, it says that we need you to pray. More than anything else, we need you to pray for all missionaries. Because the funds get us there. I mean, right, we're here for funds. And that sustains us in our country. But we would not survive if it was not for prayers for people in churches here in the States. That's what makes us survive is your prayers. And then to go on the short-term trips. Let me tell you, the reason why we're here today is because short-term trips. We went on 20 different short-term trips with our church, thinking we'll just take these week trips and be happy with ourselves. Well, we were in Belize on one of those short-term trips, and God said, hello, I want you here full-time. And so enjoy the trips that you go on, and I encourage you to go on them. Even if you don't go into missions full-time, it will change your heart and your mind to what missions and worldview is in your life. And then send. Exactly what you're doing with us right now is sending us and sending other missionaries, praying for your other missionaries. That is our duty as Christians. As believers in Christ is to pray, go, and send. He makes it simple for us. He does not make anything difficult for us to do. It's very simple. So we thank you for praying and for sending us. And we are going to pray for you guys that you're going to get to go and send others.
If the worship team can come back, I'm going to wrap this up really quick. I know it was ordained by the Holy Spirit. You never really know which direction to go until you get in the praise and worship. And I noticed that about four different times that I could count, I saw the word and heard the word go. That's what we want to encourage you more than anything else, is to go. That little girl at the end of that video cited Acts 1:8. I believe in that verse more than anything else. You will receive power, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and Judea and Samaria and to the uttermost ends of the earth. Man, I like that verse because Jesus didn't leave anything out. He said, you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem. That is where we are. That is where you are right here in this community. You're going to be your witnesses right here. But you can't stop right where you're at. I call it an and gospel, a progressive gospel. Because he says and Judea. Judea represented a land of oppression. That's where the Israelites had got taken into captivity. Sometimes we have to go to lands that are difficult, that are hard. Pastor said Estonia is going to be a hard trip. Sometimes you have to go to the hard places, the hard lands. Samaritans represented people that they hated. Sometimes you have to minister to people that you don't like so much. But then Jesus didn't leave out anyone else. He said to the ends of the earth. And that's everyone else who's left. You have to minister where you are. You have to go to lands that are difficult. You have to go to people that you may not like so much. But then you can't stop there. You have to go until all hear who Jesus Christ is. See, the word go is important. The word go appears 1,400 times in the Bible. 1,400 times. Around 100 does it say stay. There is power in the stay. Because Jesus said stay and wait for the promise of my Father. There's power in the stay. But 1,400 times he says go. I believe that God gets the glory in the go. And that's what he's charged each one of us to do. Go and make disciples of all nations, and I will be with you. You won't have to do it yourself. There's a helper to help you. Thank you so much for this time this morning. And I want to pray just a quick prayer over the congregation this morning. Heavenly Father, Lord, I thank you so much for this opportunity. Lord, I thank you for this pastor, his heart for missions. Lord, I thank you for this congregation and their commitment to missions. But Lord, more importantly, I thank you this morning for your word. Your word is faithful and your word is truth. And you tell us in your word to go. And Lord, speak to our hearts and our lives this morning. And when you place those opportunities in our path, Lord, let us not just go, let us run so that others may be saved and join the kingdom of God forever and be in your presence. In Jesus' precious name, amen and amen.
Amen. Let's say it this morning in response to this message. Let's just ask the Lord how he might want us to respond, if it's to go, if it's to send, in Jesus' name.
Pastor Aaron Halavin, our network superintendent, told me a few years ago that when you pray for missionaries to be birthed out of your church, God will raise up the best people that you have to be sent. And Billy and Melinda, you know, a lot of short-term mission trips, and God speaking to you in Belize and saying, this is the plan I have for you. You're going to leave your electrician, you know, job, your stability and all the things. The local church on this side in America, they lost a lot in that sense as they sent you. And I know that that is our future here at the Gateway as well. That God will stir in your heart, and we're just asking for you to be obedient to go. And it's not always easy. It's probably not easy to be in Belize with your kids back in the States. And thank you guys for answering the call. And it's a privilege. It's really an honor to be a part of your team. Church, it's interesting how our relationship began, and I'll wrap this up shortly, I promise. We're in a series, as you know, We Are the Church, and the church is bigger than the Gateway Church, the Big C Church, and the reason we are connected with you guys is because of a trip that Central Assembly, of just a few miles away, was doing, and they were they reached out to Tony, and Tony said yes. And Tony comes back and says, man, I met this couple. We ought to pick them up for support. We made the connection, and we're, the future's here. Well, we have that same opportunity with Estonia. And it came out of left field. We weren't thinking about it necessarily for this year, but maybe the Lord is stirring. And there's a packet for you to take and to pray in a meeting Tuesday night that you can make, and then make a decision if that's something you are wanting to do. In this series, We Are the Church, we talked about giving up our rights and laying down our preferences for the sake of reaching one more. We also last week talked about picking up our ministry. Pastor Sean preached, and we will continue the series next week with the next chapter. But in regards to picking up our ministry, we have a need in our Go Serve ministry. We have snowbirds that are living not in Michigan during the winter, and there are some needs there that we could have filled that we would love for you to serve on a weekly basis or once a month or however the Lord puts on your heart to sort goods and to get it into the system and then to get those things out. I want to encourage you to do that. And really, I just want to pray a blessing over you and let you know that we love you. So, Lord, I just thank you, God, for stirring our hearts. And, God, today there's so many ways we can respond by saying yes. That could be in our schools or in our workplace, making you known, giving up our rights, Lord, or maybe it's picking up our ministry here at the Gateway Church and filling a need with Go Serve in the winter months when others are away in warmer climate. Lord, I pray that you would just stir in us. Lord, today you, I just believe that you're stirring some to go to Estonia. You're stirring others to support the Clean Water Project with World Vision. God, I just pray that we would be faithful, Lord, to say yes when the Holy Spirit prompts us, when you prompt us, Lord, to move. And God, I pray that you would just go before us, behind us, and all around us. We thank you, God, for that. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. We love you so much. Thank you for being here. God bless you. Billy and Melinda, why don't you guys head on out and make sure you stop by their table and say hello.
Thank you for listening to this week's message from the Gateway Church. If you'd like to find out more about our church, such as service times, giving, and ways to get connected, visit us at thegateway.church.